All right, we'll say good morning. We left off. Chof Vav Amud Beis. A lot of interesting sugis here. So the Gemara says the following. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Arba Shos. So Rabbi Yehuda says in the Mishnah that you can go ahead and daven Shachris until 4 hours into the day. So ask the Gemara. Iboy Lehu. Ad Va'ad Bichlal O Dilma Ad V'lo Ad Bichlal. So also now we get into a fascinating fundamental dispute. When we say that you can go ahead and daven Shachris until 4 hours. So what does that mean? Does that mean until the fourth hour or including the fourth hour, which would really mean through the fourth hour until the fifth hour? So that's ad bichlal means until the fourth hour, the ad bichlal, and the fourth hour is included. Or ad v'lo ad bichlal means until the fourth hour, but the fourth hour is not included, which would essentially mean until the end of the third hour. So the Gemara says the following, Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Plaga Mincha. Rabbi Yehuda says you could daven Mincha until Plaga Mincha. So if you hold ad v'lo ad bichlal, then that's we understand the nature of the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Because then what's happening over here? Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could daven mincha until plaga mincha. Now remember, the way we defined it yesterday, we've established that Rabbi Yehuda is talking about plag mincha achrona, which means that he's talking about the plag mincha from mincha kitana. Mincha kitana is 9.5 hours into the day, which makes it 2.5 hours before sunset, before shkia. Plag mincha, which means a half of that mincha, would therefore mean 1.25 hours into mincha kitana, which would make it 10.75 hours into the day, which would make it 1.25 hours before shkia. So now says the Gemara, it makes sense if you say Rabbi Yehuda holds ad v'lo ad bichlal, because then what he's saying is you could daven mincha until 10.75 hours into the day, which would then put him in dispute or at odds with the Rabbanon. Because the Rabbanon says you could daven mincha until when? Until the Erev, until Shkia, until sunset. That's the Machlokas. Eli'i Amrit Ad Ve'ad Bichlal, Rabbi Yehuda, Tapav Chav Zayin, Rabbi Yehuda Hain Rabbanon. But if you hold Ad Ve'ad Bichlal, that Plaga Mincha means until and including Plaga Mincha, then in reality, Rabbi Yehuda is saying the same thing as the Rabbanon. Because then effectively it comes out that Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could have a Mincha until Shkia. So the Gemara says, well, Ema Seifa, Elamai, excuse me, therefore we must say what? Ad below ad bichlal. It must be that Rabbi Yehuda holds ad below ad bichlal. That it means until the time and not including the time. So you could daven mincha, for example, until plaga mincha, not including plaga mincha. You could daven shachris until 4 hours, not including the fourth hour. But the Gemara says, one second, Ema Seifa, but look at the end of the Mishnah, B'sham Musaf and Kalayom. So the Tanakama Paskin, that you could daven Mincha, excuse me, you could daven Musaf the entire day. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Ad Sheva Shos. Rabbi Yehuda holds until 7 hours into the day. So we'll say, now listen to this Shaila, listen to this case, V'tanya. The Brisa says, Ha'yulafan of Shtei Tfilos, Acha Shal Musaf V'Acha Shal Mincha. You have two Tfilos in front of you, right? Two Tfilos you have to daven, Musaf and Mincha, right? So the Gemara says, actually, the Brisa says, "Achar shal mincha, mispal shal mincha, va'achar kach shal musaf." You should daven mincha first, and then musaf. Why? Shazu tadira v'zu eino tadira. Because Brisa, we know that we have a principle in halacha that whenever you are faced with two mitzvos, when deciding which one to do first, you use the concept of tadir v'sheino tadir tadir kodim. Whichever one occurs more frequently is the one that you do first. So mincha occurs more frequently than musaf. Therefore, you do mincha first. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Mispalo shal musaf acher kach shal mincha." Rabbi Yehuda says, "No. You should daven musaf first and then mincha. Why? Shazu overes v'zu eino overes. Because musaf has a shorter amount of time, and mincha has a longer amount of time. So it makes sense, therefore, to do musaf and then mincha." So watch this, Rabbi. So the Gemara says, "I amrit bishlama ad ve'ad v'chlal." So now, if you hold that when Rabbi Yehuda says a particular time, it's until and including that time. We'll say, watch this. This case is predicated on one important detail, which is that you have a situation of where mincha and musaf overlap. Now, Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could daven musaf until when? Until the seventh hour. So the Gemara is going to say like this. If you hold ad ve'ad bichlal, then the case makes sense. Because until the seventh hour then essentially means what? Through the seventh hour, which then creates a situation of where you could have an overlap between mincha and musaf. Because his mind for musaf begins when? 6.5 hours into the day, which is into the seventh hour. So then there will essentially be a half hour overlap between mincha and musaf. But if you hold ad v'lo ad bichlal, that the seventh hour means until the seventh hour and not including the seventh hour, which means until the end of the sixth hour, then what? Then you're never going to have a situation of overlap between Musaf and Mincha. Because by the time the Zman for Mincha comes along, the Zman for Musaf has already ended. So the Gemara says, Se'i Amrit Bishlama Ad Ve'ad Bichlal. So if you say that Rabbi Yehuda holds until the seventh hour for Musaf, that it includes the seventh hour, Hanid the Mishkach Sushay Tzilas V'Hadi Adadi, then you could have an overlap between Mincha and Musaf. But if you hold ad v'lo'ad bichlal, then until the seventh, but not including the seventh, then you'll never have an overlap between Musaf and Mincha. So the kevan da'as yishal Mincha azla la shal Musaf. And once the time for Mincha comes, the zman for Musaf has already finished. Ela mai ad v'ad bichlal. So therefore what? It must be Rabbi Yehuda holds ad the ad bichlal, that whenever he states a zman, it means until and including that zman. So the Gemara says, okay, but now we're back to square one. Why? Kashya Resha. Because Rav Osai, we're back now to the problem with the Resha. What was the problem with the Resha? The machlokis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon in the realm of Mincha. That if you hold ad the ad bichlal, we assume that therefore that would mean until Rabbi Yehuda holds until and including Plaga Mincha, which would then put Rabbi Yehuda where? At Shkia, which would then mean that Rabbi Yehuda is actually agreeing with the Rabbanon in terms of Mincha. Then what's the machlokis in the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, my ikabe Rabbi Yehuda Rabbanon, mi sabris tahai plag mincha achrona kamar. Plag mincha rishona kamar v'hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, no. When Rabbi Yehuda holds that you could daven until plag mincha, which plag mincha do you think he's referring to? He's not referring, remember Rabbi Osai, plag means half. Plag means half. So which means is, if you take the time between mincha kitana and shkia, so mincha kitana is 9.5 hours until 12 hours into the day, which means that there are two halves to that, each of those halves consisting of 1.25 halachic hours. So the Gemara says, which plag do you think Rabbi Yehuda is referring to? So the Gemara says, you've been assuming he's referring to the second plag. No. He's referring to the first half of that 2.5 hour period. He says, plag rishona kamar, v'hachi kamar, and this is what he means to say. Emas nafik plag rishona, v'ayo plag achrona. When does the first half end and the second half begin? Nechi nafki yud alif shos chaser, when 10.75 hours elapses. So, or in other words, with Rabbi Huda's position, which is kind of intuitively what we thought from the beginning, was that Rabbi Huda says, until Plaga Mincha, true, until means ad the ad bichlal, until and including, but which plag is he referring to? The first half of Mincha Kitana, which essentially means that Rabbi Huda holds that halacha lemaisa, you could only daven Mincha until the end of the first half of Plaga Mincha, or the end of the first half of Mincha Kitana, which means until 10.75 hours into the day, which therefore means that Rabbi Huda could hold ad the ad bichlal, but still remain at odds with the Rabbanon regarding Mincha. Because according to Rabbi Huda, therefore Mincha will end at 10.75 hours in the day, whereas according to the Rabbanon, it'll end at 12 hours, at Shkia, at sunset. So the Gemara said, Om Rav Nachman, afana nami tanina. So Rav Nachman said, we actually learned this explicitly. Rabbi Huda ben Bava heir chamisha devar. So also Rabbi Huda ben Bava. Now, what Rav Nachman said is, we learned this explicitly. What he's saying we learned explicitly is that Rabbi Huda holds ad the ad bichlal, that whenever he says a time, it's until and including that time. So, but he gives a little bit of an introduction. So Rabbi Huda ben Bava heir chamisha devar. Rabbi Huda ben Bava gave testimony about 5 things. Number one, shememanin esaktana. Number one, that we encourage a ketana to do mium. So I will say quickly outside this particular case is the following. We know that halacha lemaisa mida oraisa, from a biblical perspective, a father has the ability to marry off his minor daughter. In the event that the father dies, so Chazal gave the ability to the mother and the older brother to marry off the girl. Why? Because there was a concern that an unmarried girl without a father could be very easily exploited. So Chazal gave the right to the mother and the brother to marry off the girl. Now that's only a marriage to Rabbanon. It's not a biblical marriage. If the father marries off the daughter and the daughter or the husband want to end the marriage, she needs a get. If a girl was married off by her mother and she wants to go ahead and end the marriage, assuming she's still a ketana, still a minor, so all she needs is miyun. She simply says, I refuse this, I don't want this anymore, and the marriage is dissolved. So the Gemara deals with a very interesting case. Two sisters married two brothers. Okay, older sister was an adult, married her husband. Second brother, also an adult, married this ketana girl, who was married off to him through the girl's mother. So the girl's mother married off the minor daughter to this second brother. Brother number one dies without children. Okay? Now, brother number two has a chiv of yibum to his sister-in-law. Now remember, sister-in-law is an adult woman. Yibum friendly. Right? So she's ready to yibum. Here's the problem. What's the issue? Is he can't marry two sisters. So now his rabbinic marriage to the minor daughter is going to preclude him from fulfilling the biblical mitzvah of yibum. So in this case, it's actually more important for us, for him to be able to fulfill yibum, than to remain married to his kitana wife. So Rabbi Huda ben Bava said, what we do is we encourage the girl to do yibum, to do miyun. We encourage the minor wife to go ahead and say, she doesn't want this anymore. Get out of the marriage. The chat nabos, I remember, under normal circumstances, you can't do yibum with your the sister of your divorcee. But the chap of the chap of miyun is that miyun creates a retroactive nullification as if the event never occurred. So Rabbi Huda ben Bava said, we teach the minor wife to go ahead and do miyun, and that frees up the husband to do yibum, or the brother to do yibum with his brother's widow. That's Memana and Sakitana. Alright, it's a lot for 6 o'clock. Alright, that's Memana and Sakitana. Rabbi Huda ben Bava also introduced the concept that a woman could get remarried based on the testimony of one witness. So we'll say it's also an incredible chiddush. The idea that normally you need two witnesses to form a testimonial unit, but in this particular situation, if let's say a husband is not here, we don't know what happened to him, and an aid echad comes along and says he died, in order to prevent aguna situations, we allow a woman to remarry based on the testimony of an aid echad. And about the rooster that was stoned in Yerushalayim, the stoned rooster, because it killed someone. So you will say, now what's the chap over there? The chap over there is, we know there's a concept of shor haniskal. If a shor goes ahead and kills someone, so we know that ultimately the shor is killed. The chiddush over here is that we apply that to other animals that are killed as well. So there was a rooster that pecked at the soft spot of a child's head in Yerushalayim, killed the child, and Rabbi Huda ben Bava Paskin, they killed the rooster. And furthermore, that only wine that has aged 40 days can be offered on the Mizbeach. And about the morning offering that was offered bi'arbashos. I'm about to say, here's the diuk. What does bi'arbashos mean? Within the first 4 hours, which tells us what? Ad v'ad bichlal. As opposed to saying ad arba shos, which could be inferred to mean what? Which could be understood to mean until the fourth hour. Bi arba shos means within the first full 4 hours, meaning ad v'ad bichlal. That's the reason why the Gemara brought this particular statement with Rabbi Yudin Bava. We don't really care right now about the first four things. We care about thing number five. Shmamina, ad v'ad bichlal, shmamina. Learn out from here that when Rabbi Yehuda says, until the fourth hour, or until plaga mincha, it means until and including. Amar Rav Kahana, halach Rav Yehuda, hoil utnam bebechir to kavase. Rav Kahana says that the halacha follows Rav Yehuda, since the Mishnah in Edios follows. And Abosah, we know we have a Masechta Edios. So Edios is considered to be the Masechta in which we codify halachic rulings. So Edios doesn't have all that much new information, but it kind of is a compilation of the Machlokim throughout Shas and tells us what we paskin like. So if you could find the Mishnah to support you in Edios, you are in good shape. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you the proof that the halacha follows Rabbi Huda is that the Mishnah Edios supports him. Okay. The Al Tomishal Shachar Shakar Barba shows. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Laha Disnan. Who is the opinion that says the following? The Chamash Shemesh Vinamas. So Rabosai, this over here is talking about the mon. So the Torah says they would collect the mon each and every morning. I'm just going to read you the pasuk. The yulketu osoba boker baboker. They would collect it every morning. Ish kafiachlo. Every person according to what they ate. The chamash shemesh vinamas. And then the sun would come out, and what? And what? The mon would melt. And I will say, here's the interesting chap over here. Now, you just appreciate how the pasuk is set up. So the Torah says that they would collect the mon in the morning, and then the sun would warm up, and the mon would melt. Which would seem to infer to us that at the point that the sun would come out and melt, it was no longer what?
Morning.
It was no longer morning. Okay? So now the Gemara says, the chama shemesh v'namas, ba'arba shos ato omer. When did this happen? This happens 4 hours into the day. So the Gemara says, ba'arba shos, ato omer ba'arba shos, so ein ela b'sheish shos. 1 second. How do you know it was 4 hours? Maybe it was 6 hours into the day. Kishahu omer, Kichom Hayom Hare Sheshos. So Rabbi Yehuda in Parshas Vayera, when the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu is sitting out at his tent, right, to the entranceway of his tent, as Rashi points out, waiting for Orchim, waiting for guests. So the Torah says that he's sitting at the entranceway of his tent, kichom hayom. Now, so what the Gemara is saying over here is, biblically, when the Torah wants to refer to midday, the Torah has a phrase for that called kichom hayom, the heat of the day, right, when the sun literally is in the middle of the sky. Harish sheshos, that's midday. Ha ma'ani mekayim v'cham ha-shamash v'namas, the arba shows. So we'll say it must. So therefore, if the Torah already has a lashon for midday, which is chom hayom, then cham hashemesh is not midday. If cham hashemesh is not midday, it must be what? It must be 4 hours into the day. Now the Gemara is not just arbitrarily. We have this notion already of 4 hours being the end of morning. Where do we have that concept from? Tamid shel shachar. Right, so we have this notion already. The Tamid Shel Shachar, which is the morning offering, can be offered until the end of the fourth hour. Which means that we already have this notion that morning ends at 4 hours. So now, if we know that Chama Shemesh doesn't mean midday, right, because that already is covered by Chom Hayom, it must mean the end of the fourth hour. So the Gemara says, money. Lo Rabbi Yehuda v'lo Rabbanan. So whose opinion does this reflect? It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's not the Rabbanan. Why? E Rabbi Yehuda ad arba shos namit zafrahu. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, until 4 hours is still morning. E Rabbanan ad chatzos. According to the Rabbanan, right, morning extends until midday. So the Gemara, E Rabbanan ad chatzos namit zafrahu. So the Gemara says, E bois im Rabbi Yehuda. The truth is, this could reflect the view of Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanan. How? Ibois ima Rabbanan. Omer kra baboker chelkehu lishnei bikarim. So according to the Rabbanan, it could be the fact that the Torah uses the lashon of baboker twice indicates to us what? Split the morning in two. There was one morning that they collected. And what? There was a second morning that the man melted. So in the first part of the morning they collected, and whatever they didn't collect melted in the second part of the morning. And if you could say according to Rabbi Yehuda, Hai boker yisera, the extra boker, baboker, baboker, lahaktim lo sha achos. In order to tell you that in reality, you have to go ahead and push everything back 1 hour. So baboker, baboker means that they collected throughout the morning, and within the last hour of that morning is when the man itself melted. D'chuli alma miha v'cham hashemesh v'namas v'arba shos maimashma. So the Gemara says, well, let's back up for a second. So now you've told me how the truth is the pasuk could reflect the view of both Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, pretty much based on the double lashon of baboker, baboker. According to Rabbanan, baboker, baboker teach you two mornings. One morning to collect, one morning to melt. Rabbi Yehuda, baboker, baboker tells you that the collection for the month ended one hour before the morning ended. So let's say, based on what we learned before, it would probably be at the beginning of the fourth hour, and then it was during the fourth hour that the month began to melt. So the Gemara now backs up. Just by the way, how do you know that the Chama Shemesh V'Namas means the fourth hour? Meaning, everybody seems to agree that it means the fourth hour. What exactly is the allusion to that? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov Amar Kra, V'chama Shemesh V'Namas, because the Torah says that the sun will warm up and the month will melt. Ezo Hisha Shah Shemesh Cham V'Atzel Tzonan. What is the hour that the sun is hot and the shade is cool? Havi Omer Ba'arba Shos. That is the fourth hour. So apparently what the Gemara understood is the hour at which the sun becomes strong enough to be able to potentially melt something is the fourth hour. Okay. Tfilas HaMincha Ada Eref. You could have a mincha until the evening according to the Rabbanan, until Plaga Mincha according to Rabbi Yehuda. Amar li Rav Chisda Rabbi Yitzchak. Hosam over Rav Kahana Halach Rabbi Yehuda. Hoyel utnan bebechir te kavase. Hacham mai. So the Gemara says this. Rav Chisda said to Rabbi Yitzchak, earlier we said that the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Meaning that, what was that? What that specifically was talking about was Shachris. That the halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda, that namely you could daven Shachris until the fourth hour. Right, or until hour number four. So what about over here? Does the halacha follow Rabbi Yehuda in terms of mincha also, that you can only daven mincha by until plaga mincha? So the Gemara says, ishtik velo amr lei, velo amr lei, velo midi. So Rabbi Yitzchak was quiet and didn't say anything. Amr Rav Chisda, nechze anan. Did I skip a line over here? No. Hachamai ishtik lo omle velo midi. Amar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said, okay, I'm going to answer my own question. Nechse yanan midirav masli shal Shabbos ve'erev Shabbos mi ba'o yom. So Rav Chisda said, well, look, we have circumstantial evidence that seems to support Rav Yehuda. Namely, that what? Rav used to daven on the tefillah of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos while it was still day. So we'll say, what is that specifically referring to? That if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos shekibal av Shabbos mi ba'od yom. That apparently Rav was davening Ma'ariv, right, Shabbos Ma'ariv, while what? While it was still daylight. So we'll say, that situation could easily happen how? If you pass in like Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're davening Mincha until plug, and you could daven Ma'ariv when? After plag, which is an hour and a quarter before Shkia. So Rav Chisda said, we see that Rav was davening Ma'ariv of Shabbos already on Erev Shabbos while it was still light outside. That seems to be evidence of the fact that Halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda. Shvamina Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, 1 second, Ad Rabba, mid Rav Huna, v'Rabbanan lohavu masli ad orta, Shvamina ein Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, I can give you circumstantial evidence the opposite way. The fact that Rav Huna and the Rabbanan would not daven Ma'ariv of Shabbos until it was dark indicates that what? That the Halacha doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara, look at the conclusion, Rabbi will say, Hashta, delo itmar hilchus alo kimar velo kimar. Now that we have not been able to definitively conclude who the halacha is like, the avid kimar avid, u the avid kimar avid. You could, one of these interesting situations in halacha, you could paskin like whoever you want. So I will say what comes out, and this indeed is halacha lemaisa, that the Shulchan Aruch says that halacha lemaisa, we have the ability to paskin like Rabbi Huda or the Rabbanon. Remember, the Rabbanon's model is you're davening mincha. This is only by mincha. Only by mincha. The Gemara already concluded that halacha lemaisa, you pass like Rabbi Huda by shachris. But by mincha, the halacha is Rabbanan hold mincha until shkia, ma'ariv after shkia, Rabbi Yehuda mincha until plag, ma'ariv after plag. So the Gemara says, paskin like whoever you want. And on both sides, the Shulchan Aruch records a dispute as to what exactly this means. Does this mean I could paskin however I want, but I have to make a choice? Meaning today, I have to decide I am a chassid of Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanan. So the Shulchan Aruch seems to say that you really should, you have the right to choose an approach, but you should choose an approach. The Mishnah Berurah goes so far as to say that you could even choose a different approach for different days. So for today, if it helps me to daven mincha before plag and ma'ariv after plag, I can do that. Tomorrow, I don't have a rush. I could daven mincha like mincha ma'ariv like the Rabbanon. I'll do that with one caveat: you can't mix and match on the same day. So, for example, you would not be permitted to go ahead and daven mincha after plag and ma'ariv before shkia. Mincha after plag like the Rabbanon, ma'ariv before shkia like Rabbi Yehuda, because that would be in halacha what we call a tarti desasri. That's inherently contradictory. So whatever you're going to do for one particular day, you must choose a mahalach. But the Mishnah Berurah paskins that day to day, you are permitted to go ahead and switch shitos. The one exception to all this may be Erev Shabbos, where Erev Shabbos you might be permitted to engage in a tarti desasri, but we're not going to get into that right now. Correct, including the 4th hour, yes. Yeah. Even though in reality we kind of pass like a hybrid, which means that until the 4th hour you get schar tefila bizmano. But if you miss the 4th hour you could daven until chatzos as schar tefila. That's schar tefila bizmano. So in reality we end up actually in some part accepting all of the shitos. Alright, the Gemara says the following. Rav ikla lebe Geneva, v'tzali shal Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Rav went to the house of Geneva and davened Ma'ariv of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. V'havi masli Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba la'achorei. And Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba was davening behind him. La'achorei d'Rav. V'siyem Rav v'lo paski l'tzelusei d'Rabbi Yirmiyah. And Rav finished the Shemona Esrei, but he did not pass in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. So we'll say this can mean a couple of things. It could either mean that he didn't take his 3 steps back into Rabbi Yirmiyah's, davening airspace, or that he finished, but in order to get back to his seat, he would have had to walk in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and he did not walk in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Either way, he didn't go in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and Rabbi Yirmiyah was davening. So the Gemara says, "Shmamina tzlos." We learn 3 things from here. Shmamina mispalo adam shol Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. Number one, we learn that Rabbi say halacha lemaisa, you could be makabel Shabbos early, and you could daven ma'ariv of Shabbos while it is still day, right? Provided that what, that it's after plag amincha. Okay, that's number one. Shvamina mispalo talmid achori rabo. Number two, we learn that a student is permitted to daven behind his rabbi. Ushmamina asr lavor kenegid amispalin. And we learned from here that you're not permitted to walk in front of someone who's davening Shmona Esrei. So the Gemara says, "Misaleh Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, Aser Lavar Kineged Hamispalim." So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, "You're not permitted to go ahead and walk in front of someone who's davening, eating." So we'll say, "Is that true? Is that true? Ini, is that true?" I'm sorry. I with Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi were observed walking in front of someone who was davening. So the Gemara says, "Chutz la arba amos hu dechalfi." Yes, they walked in front, but it was outside of the dalet amos. Asa dalet amos. So asa dalet amos, you could go ahead and walk in front of someone. So we'll say the logic of not walking in front of someone who's davening Shmona Esrei is twofold. On a more spiritual level, we'll call it that when someone is in Shmona Esrei, they're engaged in a dialogue with the Ribono Shel Olam. So to go ahead and walk right in front of them would be an affront to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On a more practical level, walking in front of someone who's davening will disrupt their concentration. So in order not to disrupt their concentration, we don't walk in front of them. But apparently outside of Dalet Amos is far enough away from someone, you're not going to disturb them. Rabbi Yirmiya Hechi Avad Hachi. How is Rabbi Yirmiya able to do this? Meaning what? The Ha'am Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, the Olam Al Yispal Al Adam, Lo Kineged Rabbo, Velo Achori Rabbo. A person should never daven opposite his Rebbe. Now what that means, Kineged Rabbo, doesn't mean like opposite facing. It means like next to. A person should not daven next to his Rebbe. Rashi says because it looks arrogant. It looks arrogant that a person is putting themselves on the same level as the Rebbe. But lo achori Rabbo. Nor should a person go ahead and daven opposite their Rebbe. Behind their Rebbe. So Rashi points out over here, Nami Huru. Rashi says that it's because of arrogance. So what does it mean, because of arrogance? So the Ritva comments is much simpler. He says, because if you daven behind your Rebbe, you know what's going to happen? If you daven a longer Shmona Esrei than your Rebbe, you're going to prevent him from taking his three steps back and ending his Shmona Esrei. That in and of itself is arrogant. The Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hamispal, listen to this, Hamispal Achari Rabbo, someone who davens behind his Rabbi, Vahanosein Shalom L'Rabbo, someone who gives Shalom to his Rabbi, like his Rabbi is just anyone else, Vahamachzer Shalom L'Rabbo, or someone who responds in a way to his Rabbi that he would respond to anyone else, Vaholik Al Yeshivasol Shal Rabbo, or someone who goes, it's actually interesting, Cholik Al Yeshivasol Shal Rabbo, seems to mean that you open up another yeshiva to compete with your Rebbe, right? V'ha'omer davar shlo shama mipi Rabbo, or you say over something that you did not hear in the name of your Rebbe, gorim l'shchina shetistalik mi'Yisrael. Yimamish, thank you. Yimamish, go ahead and cause the Shechina to be removed from the Jewish people. So now coming back to our question, how was Rabbi Yirmiya able to daven behind Rav? Shani Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba did Talmud chaver hava. Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba was a little bit different because he wasn't just stam a Talmud. He's what we call a Talmud chaver. So also we discussed this concept already. Talmud chaver means someone who has graduated from being just stam a Talmud to being a peer. So a Talmud Chaver, a peer student, has a different kind of relationship with his Rebbe that resembles more of a peer relationship than it does a student relationship. And the Gemara says, "V'haraya d'ka amrli Rabbi Yirmiya bar Abba l'Rav mi badalt." So the raya is that the follow-up to this story of also remember is where Rav was davening Ma'ariv of Shabbos while it was still daylight on Friday. So then Rabbi Yirmiya asked Rav, mi badalt. Mi badalt means have you separated, which is another way of saying have you stopped doing malacha. So Rabbi Yirmiya was curious, now that you have the matter of Shabbos, does that mean you've been mekabel Shabbos and you stopped doing malacha? Amarle in Badilna. And Rav responded, yes, I stopped. Now the Gemara is medayek, velo amar mi badil mar. So Rabbi Yirmiya didn't say to Rav, Has Rebbe stopped doing malacha? He didn't address him as normally a student would address a Rebbe. Rather, he just said, have you? Meaning he spoke to him like a peer. So the Gemara is saying that's a raya, that he enjoyed a different status with his Rebbe. He was a Talmud Chaver, a peer, rather than a student. V'ha'am Rabbi Avin. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Umi b'dil. Now, if you daven Ma'ariv early, while it's still light on Friday, do you really have to stop doing malacha? V'ha'amar Rabbi Avin, pam achas hispalal Rabbi shal Shabbos ve'erev Shabbos. One time Rabbi davened Ma'ariv of Shabbos while it was still daytime on Friday. V'nichnas l'merchatz, And what happens? He went to the bathhouse afterwards, the yatz, and then he came out, v'shalom pirkin, and he gave a shir, v'adayin lo chashecha, and it still was not dark. So we'll say, what's the shayla over here? The shayla is that Rabbi Avin went into the merchatz after he davened ma'ariv. So is that not an indication that even davening ma'ariv while it's still day is not tenth, it does not result in kabbalos Shabbos, in accepting Shabbos? So the Gemara says, no. Amar Rava, hahu dinichnas lahazia. Rabbi Yirmiyah went in there to use the shvitz. Right? He didn't go in there to bathe. Remember, bathhouses served two purposes in the times of the Gemara. One was actual bathing. The other one is that people went to the steam bath. They went to the shvitz. So he didn't go to bathe. He went to the shvitz. They called him gzeira hava. And it was before the gzeira. Now, we'll say, remember, interestingly enough, technically speaking, going to the shvitz on Shabbos is actually okay. What ended up happening was it became part of Gezeiras Merchatz. Gezeiras Merchatz is when Chazal prevented you from bathing on Shabbos, even if water was heated before Shabbos. So originally, going to the Shvitz was not included in Gezeiras Merchatz. It was added later on. So the Gemara says this particular episode happened before the Gezeira that added in the Shvitz. So he really was Mekabel Shabbos, but going to the Shvitz at that point in time was not a problem. So the Gemara says, Ini v'ha abaye shari le l'ravdimi bar liyuye l'kavure sali. But Abaye permitted Ravdimi bar liyuye to smoke baskets. Now, doesn't mean smoke a basket. It means that they would go ahead and smoke their basket. After they fashioned their baskets, they would actually, they would, apparently Rashi points out, they would expose some kind of sulfuric smoke that would harden it, that would color it. So obviously you can't do that on Shabbos, but yet we see that Abaye allowed Ravdimi to do this even after Ravdimi already davened Ma'ariv early on Friday. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good raya. Hahu ta'usahavi. You know what the case over there, Rav Osei, was? The case over there was a toast. Rashi points out, Lo kibel alav tosef es Shabbos mishas tefila midas el yom hamu'unan haya uka asabar kashchashecha v'achekach zar chachama. It's a very interesting case. Apparently what happened was, it was a cloudy day. Rav Dimi thought it was getting dark, Shabbos was coming, and therefore he davened Ma'ariv thinking that it was nighttime. It then turned out that what? The clouds dispersed, sun came out, and he realized he made a mistake. So because he made a mistake, that is not considered to be a real acceptance of Shabbos, and that's why Abai permitted him to go out and do Malacha. So the Gemara says, 1 second, V'ta'usa mihadra? Is that true? If you accept Shabbos by accident, right, by accident, meaning you were misinformed, you thought it was dark, it really was dark, it turns out to be light, that's not binding, that it doesn't count as Kabbalah Shabbos. V'ha Amar Avidan. But Avidan said the following, Pam achas niskashu shamayim ba'avim. One time, the sky became cloudy. Uksvurim ha'am lomar chashechahu. Everybody thought it was getting dark. V'nichnesu lebeis hakneses. V'hispalalu shamotzai Shabbos b'Shabbos. They both said, this is the opposite case. What happens? It got cloudy on Shabbos. Everybody said, oh, Shabbos is ending. They went to shul, they davened Ma'ariv. And what happened? V'nisbazru ha'abim v'zarcha ha'chama. And what happened? As they're leaving shul to go ahead and go make Havdalah, so what happens? The clouds disperse, sun comes out. So they came and they asked Rebbe, what are we supposed to do over here? So Amr, hoil the hispalalu. So Rebbe said, since you've davened. Now I want to be clear. Obviously, there's no license for malacha. It's still Shabbos. But the point over here is, once you've davened. However, the Gemara says, shiny tzibor de lo matrichin aluhu. A tzibor is different. We won't make a tzibor daven again. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, just so you should know how this turns out. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins. This is in Hilchos Shabbos, Simen Reish Samech Gimel. The Shulchan Aruch writes like this: In b'yom ha'mu'unan tov tzibor b'chashu shechashecha be'liku neros v'spalut filas arvish shel Shabbos. If literally it was a cloudy day, the tzibor made a mistake and they accepted Shabbos. V'achar kach nispazru ha'avim b'zorcha ha'chama. The sun comes out. Ein tzorich lachzor u'lispal arvish. You don't have to go back and daven again, right? That's all assuming that what? That's all assuming that it was after Plag HaMincha. Right? After Plag HaMincha. So as long as after Plag HaMincha, and you daven, you thought you don't have to daven again. But here's the chav. Ule'inyin malacha, bein b'tzibor bein b'yachid, mutarim, dekabolas Shabbos haisa b'tos. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, amazing. Number one, you don't have to daven again, because you daven technically at a right zman. This is for a tzibor. A yachid would have to daven again. We're not going to be matriach to tzibor to daven again, but amazingly enough, you are not aser b'malacha. because Kabbalah betos lo havi Kabbalah. An erroneous acceptance of Shabbos is not considered to be an acceptance of Shabbos. The one exception he says is it could be that those who actually lit candles, which I guess in most situations would be women, those who actually lit candles, so they did an active maisa of Kabbalah's HaShabbos, they might be usher in. They might be usher in Malacha, but we're not going to get into those details right now. But Malacha, you should just know. So number one, if the Tzibor daven, they don't have to daven again, but that's only the Tzibor, the Yachid would have to daven again. And Kabbalah Betos, if you accept Shabbos erroneously, that is not considered to be a real acceptance of Shabbos, you'd be permitted to go ahead and do Malacha, just as Abaye permitted Rabbi Avin to smoke the baskets. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Avin. Rav Soli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav davened Meiriv of Shabbos while it was still day on Erev Shabbos. Rav Yoshia Masli Shamotzai Shabbos B'Shabbos. Now this is more intriguing. Rav Yoshia davened Meiriv of Motzai Shabbos on Shabbos. Rav Soli Shal Shabbos Erev Shabbos. Omer Kiddush Alakos. So the Gemara just out of curiosity, when Rav would daven Meiriv of Shabbos early on Erev Shabbos, would he go ahead and make Kiddush while it was still day? Would he actually make Kiddush while it was still day? Similarly, so the Gemara says, or not, Tashma, the Amar of Nachman Amar Shmuel, Mispale Adam Shal Shabbos Erev Shabbos, Va'omer Kiddusha Alakos. No, the halacha is, in the name of Shmuel, that you could daven Meiriv of Shabbos early, and you could say Kiddush while it's still daytime as well. And that is how the halacha follows. Rabbi said, we know. We can be Makabal Shabbos anytime after Plaga Mincha, and you don't have to wait until nightfall to say Kiddush. You can say Kiddush even during the day. Rabbi Yoshia Masli Shamo Tzayu Shabbos B'Shabbos. Omer Havdala Alakos. Oh, you know Omer Havdala Alakos. So the interesting part over here is Rabbi Yoshia, who would daven Meiriv of Motzai Shabbos while it was still daytime on Shabbos. So he would daven Motzai Shabbos Meiriv on Shabbos itself after Plaga Mincha. So the Shaila is now, would he make Havdalah on the cup? Obviously, I will say, can't do Malacha. That's obvious. Can't do Malacha until nightfall. But the Shaila is, can you make Havdalah ala kos while it's still Shabbos day? So Tashma, the Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Mispalel Adam Shal Motzai Shabbos B'Shabbos, Omer Havdalah ala kos. So here you have Sim Bishwa that a person could actually daven Meiriv early, and technically speaking, say Havdalah Alakos. The Rabbah says you should just know Halacha L'Maisa, although technically speaking, there's an opinion in the Shulchan Aruch, so we don't pass in this way. But not because it doesn't work, because it's playing with fire. Why? Because there's a real concern that if you go ahead, thank you. It's a friend, not much like you. Anticipate the need. So what's interesting over here is there's a real concern that halacha lemaaseh, if we allow you to make havdalah while it's still daytime on Shabbos, what's going to happen? It's not a far cry until people begin to think that what? That Shabbos is over. You see, going ahead and being mekabel Shabbos early doesn't pose a problem for us. Someone's going to accept Shabbos early. Doing something that behaviorally looks like you're bringing Shabbos to a close before Shabbos is actually over, of course, is exceptionally problematic.
This is different Havdalah than we say now, because we now do Havdalah.
No, they're doing the same Havdalah. Even if it's a little bit different texturally, which you are correct, conceptually it's the same, which is you are being mavdil between Shabbos and Chol. No. I'll say again, that's why he says alakos. He's only talking about alakos. Just pray priyagavan. So there's no eish. Remember, eish and besamim anyway are shtickle gravy for Havdalah. You know, it's not, the ikra of Havdalah is Havdalah alakos. The eish, they have the additional symbolism. That's not the essence. Amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rav. Bitzad Amud Zeh, Hispalo Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi Shal Shabbos B'Erev Shabbos. So they used to say that by this pillar, they were talking about a specific pillar. By this pillar, this is where Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi used to daven Meiriv of Shabbos during the day of Erev Shabbos. So also what they're saying over here is they're reminiscing, this is where Rabbi Shmuel used to daven. Remember, you have to understand something else, Rabbi Yossi. In the formulation of Halacha, much of the codification of Halacha is based on what Talmidim saw their Rebbeim do. So now that we're having this whole discussion of can you daven Meiriv of Shabbos early on Erev Shabbos, they're remembering, you see this pillar? This is where Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yossi used to daven Meiriv of Shabbos after Plaga Mincha on Erev Shabbos. He asked Ula, when Ula came along, he said, "Bitzad tamrahava." First of all, it wasn't a pillar. It was a palm tree. Number two, velo bitzad amuzeh. Number two, velo Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yossi haba. Next, it wasn't Rabbi Shaul Rabbi Yossi. Rather, it was Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Number three, velo shel Shabbos ve'erev Shabbos hava, ela shemotzoi Shabbos b'Shabbos hava. It wasn't Ma'ariv of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos, rather what? It was Ma'ariv of Motzai Shabbos on Shabbos. But other than the fact that she got the location, the name, and the tefillah wrong, everything else is correct. So the Gemara says, Tefillah se'erev ein lo keva. Ma'ariv has no keva. Now, keva literally means amount. So Ma'ariv has literally no amount. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Ma'ein lo keva. If you mean to say that you can daven Ma'ariv the entire night, then say you can daven Ma'ariv the entire night. My ein la keva. Why do you use this lashon of it has no keva? To this kavius means establishment, something established. So ein la keva literally means that Ma'ariv has no kavius. It's not established. So if it means you could daven all night, so you could daven all night. My ein la keva. So what does ein la keva mean? Kiman domar tfilas arvis rishus. It reflects the opinion of the one who says that Ma'ariv is optional. Do amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel tfilas arvis. Rabbi Gamliel omer chova. Rabbi Gamliel says that Ma'ariv is obligatory. Rabbi Yeshua omer rishus. Rabbi Yeshua says it's a rishus. It's optional. Amar Abaye halacha kedivrei omer chova. Abai said halacha is like the one who says that Ma'ariv is obligatory. Rava Amar, halacha kedivrei omer rishus. Rava says, no, the halacha is like the one who says it's rishus. Now, also, I just want to point out, Rav Yashav, Zichar Tzadik Livracha, points out in his essays on Maseches Brachos, says that you know what this machlokas is based on? It ties into yesterday's daf. That what did we learn yesterday? A machlokas of tfilos kineget avos tiknum. Or tefilos kineged tmidin tiknum. Why do we daven? Because of the patriarchs or because of karbanos? So Rabbi Yashu says like this, if you hold that tefilos kineged karbanos, then what's the status of Ma'ariv? Then Ma'ariv is optional. Why? Because there is no karbanic service at night. Right? The only thing you do at night is you burn the leftovers. And for argument's sake, if there were to be no leftovers, there'd be nothing happening in the Beis HaMikdash at night. Therefore, if you hold that tefilos kineged tmidin tiknum, Ma'ariv is rishus. Versus if you hold that what? Tefilos kineged avos tiknum, then the truth is, although of course, the fact that the patriarchs prayed does not make tefillah biblically binding, but all the tefillos are the same. So once you have an obligation to daven shachris, an obligation to daven mincha, it's the same obligation to daven Ma'ariv. So it's just interesting, Rabbi Yashiv goes ahead and ties in this machlokas to the previous machlokas. So Moshe, let's begin the next story.
So is that the conclusion? That's the illness?
No, so the conclusion is yes. Right? The conclusion is both. Right? Tfilos kineged avos tiknum ve'as mechin rabbanan akabanos. The concept, the conceptual framework of praying morning, evening, afternoon comes from the avos, but the detailed framework comes from karbanos. So we take the framework of the avos, superimpose it on the framework of the karbanos. So essentially it's both. It's both, which is why in the formulation of tefillah, interestingly enough, we actually mix and match a little bit from avos and from karbanos. Right, well, so you know what? We'll stop over here. We're going to pick up right here tomorrow by this mice. So, all right, we'll have a lot to do tomorrow. But it's a story. It's a story. So this is the famous Maisa that we read. We read the end of it, Rav Elazar ben Azariah in the Haggadah. So we'll get through it quickly. We'll start at 5:59 tomorrow. 5:55.